ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओके, श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 4 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Sanshayo yang mahan brahman,
sanshayo yang mahan brahman,
daragara sutadishu,
daragara sutadishu,
saktasya yat siddhir abhut,
saktasya yat siddhir abhut,
Krishna cha matirachyuta, Krishna chamatihi means attachment to Krishna or Krishna consciousness. The opposite of that is consciousness of sense gratification. There's either Krishna consciousness or consciousness of sense gratification. Consciousness of sense gratification manifests in many, many varieties. There is gross sense gratification in the form of gross desires for sex enjoyment, power, dominating over others, the desire to travel here and there and enjoy different situations for sense gratification, to enjoy music and dancing. There are more subtle forms of sense gratification also. To do good for others and enjoy being considered a good person, to enjoy the praise of being considered a moral person, to become a hero for the fatherland and be praised by others, to enjoy family life, can enjoy that the children look up to the father as God. The young children, they think that the father, there's no greater person. They rely on him completely. Rely, depend. So the father has the feeling that I am the maintainer of my family. I am the controller of my family. I am the best friend of my family. That's also a kind of sense gratification. Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, controller, and proprietor. Who knows a verse, famous verse from Bhagavad Gita that states this? Can say? Bhuktaram
Yagyataka
Sarvalokamadishwaram. And this verse states that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of all. But in family life, one takes that position that I am the great friend, proprietor, and controller of my family. And this may expand as one increases his social contacts, so that he may become the president of the country. Then he considers himself the great, the supreme friend, controller, and proprietor of the whole country. Another kind of sense gratification is to desire to enjoy comfortable life or to take pleasure in sleeping. To find life is better when you're asleep, especially during Bhagavatam class, that life is very harsh. These are all different kinds of sense gratification. And although they may be considered worthy goals by materialistic people, to become rich, to enjoy life, to sleep peacefully as long as possible, these are all antithetical to the development of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means giving up consciousness of sense gratification to the fullest extent, completely. We see that impersonalists, they also give up sense gratification. They give up gross sense gratification. At least the traditional impersonalists. The Mayavad sannyasis are very strict. Modern day impersonalists, they're the gross sense gratifiers in many cases. But even if a Mayavadi is very strict in avoiding gross sense gratification, he actually is indulging in the highest or the most complete form of sense gratification by imagining himself to be the supreme. That is the greatest sense gratification. So all these forms of sense gratification, they spring from enviousness of Krishna. Krishna bahya mokhaya bhogavancha kare. This is the psychological development. When a person becomes envious of Krishna, then he desires sense gratification. Nikatastha maya tare japati adhari. But Maya is just waiting to catch him, and that's what she does. So it seems to the conditioned soul that sense gratification is desirable. But actually the result is always inauspicious. By the laws of nature, the more you engage in sense gratification, the more you suffer, even on the physical platform. If you spend your youth so-called enjoying life, then you suffer more in later life. Now they've made a big business out of sports. Football, tennis, different sports, golf. So if someone becomes expert in kicking a ball, he becomes can very quickly become very rich. But due to overstraining of the body, in later life you'll suffer so much pain. Or if someone takes intoxication, indulges in sex and all these things, then he'll get so many diseases in later life. Apart from that, you have to suffer the reactions of sinful activities. Because illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, which are forms of gross sense gratification, they're also grossly sinful. And they generate severe sinful reactions. But actually anything, any activity conceived of without Krishna consciousness, without an attitude of service to Krishna, generates sinful reactions. Even so-called pious activities also generate sinful reactions. Because piety in the material world, without a consciousness of Krishna, it's actually also sinful. By performing pious activities, one can get the result of, for instance, going to the heavenly planets. That is considered by foolish people to be a reward for performing pious activities. But actually, it's simply another form of punishment. Because without remembering Krishna, we have to suffer in this material world. Gross sinful activities generate gross reactions. Punishments in hell are described at the end of this canto. And in the heavenly planets, you enjoy the nice situation with the nice weather and the nice breeze and the nice apsaras, and it's all fun. So it seems to be a situation for enjoyment. But actually in the heavenly planets also no one's happy. They're also suffering. Apart from the constant anxiety, which is the symptom of being in material consciousness, everyone is in anxiety. Even in the heavenly planets, the anxiety of future death is there. Just as here, no one is, it's not that people are thinking about it all the time, but it's always in the back of their minds. Then in the heavenly planets, they're enjoying, but they're always afraid, when will the demons come and attack us? And just like on this planet, they have the anxiety thinking, what are others thinking about me? We saw yesterday at the beach, everyone very seriously in Maya. And those young men who had bodies like oxes, they were showing them off.
Oxes?
Ox means like a bull. Buffalo or something like this. And the young girls with their pretty bodies were showing them off. But there are also the fat, misshapen ones, and the skinny ones suffering. Why wasn't I born?
Beautiful.
So everyone's in anxiety thinking, like, what are others thinking of me? And all the young men have to smoke cigarettes just to show that they're very tough.
Tough?
Strong. Masculine. But even the beautiful young women, there's the anxiety that after some time I'm going to be like the older women, all crumpled up. Quite, so like right. Like that in the heavenly planets, that's also there. A man is interested in a young girl, but she leads him on, come, 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 come. Then when he comes close up, flips him away. So like this, because people are envious, they're causing anxiety for each other. So over and above this, there is the misery of not being Krishna conscious. Even if you feel you're happy, it's just minuscule happiness in comparison to the happiness of Krishna consciousness.
Minuscule.
Very small. But so even if the impersonalists attain merging into Brahma, into impersonal Brahman, then they're also suffering because they're not Krishna conscious. They miss the bliss. So Parikshit Maharaj is seeing this point, that sense gratification and Krishna conscious, they are opposed to each other. Krishna conscious means Krishnendriya Priti Vancha, that one desires to satisfying the senses of Krishna. Atendriya, where is that? Atendriya priti icha tare bale kam, Krishnendriya priti vancha dhare premana. There's the difference. That one who desires to satisfy his own senses, the desire to satisfy his own senses, that is called kam or lust. And the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses is called prem or love of God. So the two things, they may appear to be similar, but they're not. Just like we were saying to the people yesterday, do you like to dance? Do you like to sing? You can sing like this, chant Hare Krishna. Because they're interested in sense gratification. So if you tell them you like to dance, yes. You like to sing, yes. Although most people can't think of dancing and singing unless they've drunk a few vodkas. We offer Krishna consciousness to them as if it's just another form of sense gratification. But actually the fact is that anyone who becomes interested in Krishna consciousness, they lose interest in sense gratification. If we tell people our principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, they become scared.
Scared means?
Afraid. They think that if we tell them to give up their sense gratification, then the very meaning of their lives will be lost. That without sense gratification, life will be horrible. However, those who take interest in Krishna consciousness, they automatically give up these things. We don't, actually, if someone's interested in Krishna consciousness, we explain to them philosophy and ask them to chant. We don't have to preach so much about don't eat meat and all these things, because automatically they'll get a taste for Krishna consciousness. They'll automatically give those things up. One who starts to take up Krishna consciousness, he automatically understands why these things are not good. He loses all taste for them. Of course, the desire for sense gratification may remain, at least at the subtle level. Therefore, devotees also have to be conscious to give up thoughts of sense gratification. Not only do devotees refrain from sense gratificatory activities, but we also have to train the mind to give up thoughts of sense gratification. That is not easy. Yogis, they go away to the Himalayas and perform severe austerities to try to give up all thoughts of sense gratification. But it becomes easy if we engage the mind in thoughts of Krishna consciousness. If we have many activities in Krishna consciousness, that absorbs our mind on the transcendental platform. So it is good to be active in Krishna consciousness. Do something for Krishna. See what you can do to preach Krishna consciousness. That is a very great meditation. That we can never come to the end of that meditation. Because there's unlimited work to do in preaching Krishna consciousness. There are millions of people all over the world who are not Krishna conscious. And what to speak of those who are not in the human species. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order that the devotees do something, perform activities to try to save them from their sense gratificatory consciousness. And what to speak of those out who are not Krishna conscious, even those who are taking to Krishna consciousness, there's so much preaching to do among the devotees, training them, convincing them. So this is the best meditation for overcoming sense gratificatory tendencies. Not only meditating, but practically acting also. Just like I was asking the devotees yesterday, that you should all distribute at least one of Prabhupada's books every week. Who wasn't there last night when I asked everyone that? Okay, well, everyone else promised to distribute at least one of Prabhupada's books a week, so why don't you also all promise? And all those who promised in front of the sacred river Volga can now promise in front of the sacred deities of Gaur Nithai, which is more sacred than the river Volga. So there's something to do. Keep out of trouble. Sense gratification means problem. You can distribute Prabhupada's books at least one a week. At least. If you can distribute more, that's better. If you get the taste for that, then you'll find there are so many activities in preaching Krishna consciousness. Actually, we want that the whole world will be Krishna conscious. We've got a lot of work to do. Do most of the people in Samara now know about Hare Krishna? They all know. They all know we have a center here. Are they all going to come here today for the Sunday program? They'll be at the beach getting the lower taste. So this is the meditation of a devotee. How to deliver others. And actually it's most enlivening. If you're always thinking how to preach Krishna consciousness, thoughts of sense gratification become most insignificant in comparison. So preaching Krishna consciousness, that is the Sadhana also. Sadhana means that which purifies us. So if we try to preach and purify others, we also become purified. Just like after you finish prasad, you wash your plate, right, under the running tap. So while you're washing the plate, your hand automatically becomes washed. Of course, you still have to do some, to get all the little bits, you still have to do wash your hands separately afterwards. But the point is there that by performing activities to purify others, we also become purified. And just like we have to wash the little bits, still we have to wash our hands, still we have to perform our sadhana of hearing and chanting about Krishna. But this preaching is a quick way to become advanced. Srila Prabhupada has written that preaching is the easy way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why don't we all do that to our fullest capacity? Give up thoughts of sense gratification. And in this way, very easily, happily become absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. This way we'll become happy, and others who we preach to will also become happy. This way the ocean of nectar increases. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. See what you can do. Distribute at least one book a week, and also see if you can make people devotees, preach to them personally, convince them, give them prasadam. Everyone likes prasadam unless they're a complete rakshasa. Most people are not complete rakshasas. So even if they're not interested in the holy name, they're not interested in the philosophy, most people are interested in something nice to eat. Somehow or other, try to bring people to Krishna. If you can inspire someone to start chanting Hare Krishna, that is a very great victory. So we should, at least one book a week, at least one devotee a year, minimum. Try and make devotees. You can start in your own home. If that doesn't work, try the next house next door. Try and get people to chant Hare Krishna. Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Any questions? It's similar actually. People like to sleep because their life is so miserable. People think, now Sunday I'm free from work, so I can sleep up till 11 o'clock. How wonderful. So that means that their life is miserable if they like to sleep more. So similarly, impersonalists think material life is so miserable. Let me merge in the impersonal Brahman. So it's the same attitude, escapism, the desire to be free from material life without engaging in Krishna's service. And the desire to become one with God is another kind of dream. The materialist is dreaming of enjoying this material world, and the impersonalist is dreaming of becoming one with God. You see, with this dream, in the dream you feel your situation to be real. But when you wake up, you think, oh, that was just a dream. That wasn't real. Now I'm back to reality. But while you're dreaming, you are considering that completely real. And when you wake up, you consider it real. So what's the difference? The experience of reality is there in both situations. But you consider the dream at night to be unreal because it's temporary. You wake up and it's finished. But this material situation is also temporary. It just lasts longer, therefore we consider it to be real. But after a few years, this body and the whole situation surrounding it will also be finished. So we're still dreaming when we wake up. At night you may be dreaming, I'm a king, I'm riding on a chariot. And you wake up and think, oh, that was just a dream. Here I am, I'm in reality again. Here I am, Ivan Sergeyevich, in my home with my car and my business and my family and the fatherland. So this is reality. But after some time, that also breaks, this dream breaks. And you go to another dream, another body. So anything outside of Krishna consciousness is just a dreamlike existence.
Clear?
She just tried to explain that you told about
the meditation. I can't answer it, can I? Alright, any other question? If you can't understand it, is there any question? Is there a question?
How to overcome this problems of
Krishna. As long as we're in the material world, there'll be problems. You overcome all problems by going back to the spiritual world. But actually, problems in Krishna's service, that's also enjoyable. Because then we pray to Krishna more and we feel Krishna's protection. Otherwise, there's always problems. It's either too hot or it's too cold. There's always something wrong with the body. Why make a big fuss?
Fussness too.
Why become so much disturbed by this problem and that problem? Just go on serving Krishna, that's all. Yeah. Alright, one at a time.
Is there any difficulties in service of Krishna to
Yes, here.
They may be.
There may be, yeah. There's social interaction. So sometimes there's disagreement among the devotees how to serve Krishna even in the spiritual world. But that is the source of increasing transcendental bliss. If everything was just all easy, then where would be the endeavor to serve Krishna? If we think there should be no problem, then where is the opportunity to show how much we endeavor to serve Krishna? If book distribution meant that we just take some books outside the gate, lie down and go to sleep, and people come by themselves, take the books and give the money, and then we wake up after 6 hours and there's all the money in a nice pile and all the books have gone, then where's our endeavor? He can ask another question afterwards. What's his question? They're deliberately against the idea of being Krishna conscious, then what can you do to help them? That is already stated in the purport today. One who has taken a vow to execute family duties has no chance to become Krishna conscious. This is because most Grihabratas are guided by sense gratification and therefore gradually glide down to the darkest regions of material existence.
Is it written here?
Yeah, it's right in the purport. If someone's determined not to be Krishna conscious, then what can you do to help them? Even then you can give them prasadam. Prasadam, Rath Yatra, festivals like this. Even people who are not interested in this philosophy can become attracted in these ways. It's just some examples. There's so many festivals. Another question? Gives us independence. Either we can love him or not love him. That much independence he gives us. If we didn't have that independence, then actually there couldn't be love. Because love means the voluntary desire to serve someone else, to be attached to someone else. So that voluntary, that independence presupposes that some people will misuse that independence. Any other question? The material world. You remain attached to the material world, even if you perform pious activity. That I was explaining in the lecture. You have to take the result of that pious activity, which is also a cause of suffering in a less gross way. Another thing is that due to the interaction of the modes of material nature, those who desire subtle sense gratification will, in course of time, desire also gross sense gratification, unless they become purified by the process of Krishna consciousness. To purify our desires, that's also a cause of anxiety and suffering, even in the heavenly planets.
It's not considered very ethical to point your feet
up. It may be our lack of conviction, it may be our lack of knowledge, or it may be just the obstinacy of the other people.
Also,
bad attitude of the other people. Or it may be a combination of these factors. How to become convinced? Well, why not be convinced? What's the problem? What are you not convinced about? There must be God. I mean, that's a basic point. Everything in the universe is not existing simply by chance. There must be some reason behind it all. So there must be God. If there's God, he must be revealing himself to us also. So we see a pure devotee, Prabhupada, completely absorbed in love of God. It wasn't that Prabhupada was in some big hallucination. He was all the time talking about Krishna, but actually it was just a big hallucination. There is no Krishna. No, there is Krishna. Certainly there is Krishna. All these scriptures, all the great acharyas describe about Krishna. So why shouldn't we be convinced? It's just our sinful attachment to this material world that we're not convinced, that's all. That we have to purify by hearing and chanting about Krishna. You think they were just imagining? They're cheating us or something? It's like a millions of years conspiracy to cheat everybody. Maybe the American government's behind it all. Does it make any sense? Sangshayatna vinashyati. In Gita, Krishna says that those who are attached to doubting, they are destroyed. You can doubt anything. Some people doubt that they even exist. Do I really exist? Are all these people here, is it really happening or is it just some kind of big illusion? Of course, when they get hungry and it's time for them to eat, then they don't doubt about that. They eat. They suspend their philosophical doubting at that time and pack their belly with food.
Suspend them.
They temporarily stop it. They stop doubting. At that time, they stop doubting and they eat. They don't sit there and think, well, should I eat or shouldn't, or is this food really here? Is Gauri going now? Haribol, you going now?
No, they are going for marketplace.
Okay.
Marketplace.
All right, because there's a letter.
She will return.
Okay.
So, Russia, just Russia.
When it's time for them to pass stool, they don't, well, you know, do I really exist or do I really have to pass stool? Or they just have to go. They don't make a big philosophy, should I go to the toilet or not, and then pass in their pants. And they're sitting with stool in their pants and thinking, well, is the stool really in my pants or not? Of course, they might do that, but then, you know, they'll be carted off to the lunatic asylum, mental home, psychiatric ward.
I don't know what is it, mental
home. Where the crazy people go, crazy house. They're standing there with stool in their pants, wondering, is there really stool in my pants or not, or is it just my imagination?
And they take him to this.
And they take him to the crazy house. And he's in the crazy house thinking, well, this doesn't really exist. Point is, you have to believe in something. Something's real, right? So Krishna is the supreme reality. Doubt is all right, but you have to, ultimately, you have to accept that something exists. You have to accept something as reality. Even if you doubt so many things, but you accept, you at the time of eating, you accept that this is real. So what is the ultimate reality? That is Krishna. That is, if you want to go through the whole philosophical process, you'll find the ultimate reality is Krishna. And if you don't have a better answer for what the ultimate reality is, then just accept Krishna, that's all. If you want to argue, we can argue.
If you want...
If you want to argue, if you don't accept Krishna as the ultimate reality, then we can discuss. What do you accept as the ultimate reality? Michael Jackson? No? Yourself? You are the supreme absolute truth? No. Then who or what is the supreme absolute truth? You don't know. But there are those who know. Vyasadeva knows. Prabhupada knows. They're explaining that. Why don't you accept it? What's the problem? Just like you may doubt so many things, but when the time comes to pass stool, you have to go and pass. So you're controlled. You don't want to die, but you have to die. You are controlled. Today it may be a very hot day, or there may be some rain and it becomes cold. And whether it's hot or cold, you just have to accept it. You're controlled. So just accept that we are controlled. Then you find out, why are we controlled? Who is controlling? That is Krishna. Otherwise what? Who is controlling if not Krishna?
I have a faith that Krishna exists in
yoga. All right, well, increase that faith. Increase that faith by studying Prabhupada's books.
Next question. He's asking why our temple is called Nirshivasandam. I don't know why he is asking. Actually, it was Rakshasita Prabhupada who called this temple Nirshivasandam. He asked me why it's called Nirshivasandam.
Srivasangan is a very sacred place.
Sacred or sacred?
Sacred. Where Srivas Thakur, great devotee, was always serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Specifically where Lord Chaitanya had wonderful pastimes of dancing with Lord Nityananda and all his devotees. So here are Nitai Gauranataraj. Gauranataraj means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the king of all dancers. So the idea is to create the same atmosphere as was at Srivasangam, where all the